We are in a series entitled Excess Baggage, and as you may have seen, those are not there because we are going to have a garage sale tomorrow. Don wouldn't want me to part with those, I'm sure. But we lived in the islands, and we spent about 12 years, 6 years in St. Vincent, 3 years in St. Lucia, about 3 years in St. Croix. And I did a lot of traveling when I was in the islands. And we actually live in St. Vincent, which is one of the Windward Islands. And just a little bit of geography, I don't want to bore you with this. But the Windward Island is made up of St. Lucia, St. Vincent, and Grenada. And the Leeward Island is made up of Antigua, St. Kitts, Dominica. And so, but we live in St. Vincent. And that was one or some of our best days while we were there. And I did a lot of island hopping because I was district superintendent, and I watched over the churches in St. Lucia, St. Vincent, and Grenada. So I did a lot of, moving around. Most of the times I travel in an Avro 748. Some of you guys, Bill would know what that plane looks like. Bill was a pilot, and also Andy. And some of the times I travel with a twin-engine Cessna. And I learned very quickly, it didn't start it out that, to travel very lightly. And this would be my baggage for the 3 or 4 days that I will be away. And many times as I go to the counter to check in, the individual behind the counter would ask me, is this all your luggage? I said, yes, this is all my luggage. And so I said, okay. And so I take my luggage with me in the aircraft and I place it over on the overhead cabin. Now, when I got to my destination, picked my bag up, I don't have to wait for the baggage, the excess baggage maybe, to come through the carousel. In those days, they didn't have a carousel. They brought it in a cart and just laid on the floor, and you have to go and claim your baggage. So I picked this up. I went through immigration and then into custom. And before you know it, I'm gone while people are still waiting for the luggage because I travel smart. No excess baggage. And so I did that a lot while I was there. I'm hoping this morning that when we talk about excess baggage, that we might come to a better understanding. And I'm going to just lay this back over here with all the excess baggage. Now it becomes excess baggage. I'm hoping that we will have a better understanding of what excess baggage is all about, or what can be considered as excess baggage. Our excess baggage may not look anything like what we see over here, because this, I can see it, I can touch it, and I can feel it if I need to. And oftentimes when people go through custom, they do not, especially traveling in the islands, they do not take every single thing out. They just kind of feel around to make sure that there was nothing in there that is suspicious or whatever. But what about the baggage that is unseen? I can't see it. Maybe if you talk to me long enough, I can probably sense or tell that there is excess baggage. But what about the baggage that are not seen? Well, guess who knows about it, that the baggage is there? You do. You know that the baggage is there. And maybe our excess baggage may not be something that we think it's there, but it's there. And maybe you don't want to see it as excess baggage. So I'm hoping this morning that we will come to a better understanding of what that is all about. I came up with this definition, and is very, very intellectual. You may miss it, okay, if you wink. Excess baggage is anything or everything that keeps us back or prevents us to reach our full potential in our walk and talk with Jesus Christ. Anything that keeps us back. I want to make a disclaimer at this point, is that I'm not trying to make you feel that you have excess baggage when you don't. What I'm hoping that we will accomplish, or what will be accomplished today, is that we will go to God in prayer and we will ask Him to search our hearts and see if there is anything not pleasing in His sight, and that He will take it away and replace it with something that will bring us greater joy and satisfaction. And He is the only one who will bring that to us. So, as a scripture background, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And we are going to take this in different segments. I want you to bear with me. Ephesians chapter 4, and let's see where this is going to take us. If you don't have a Bible, I'm sorry that it's not going to be in the PowerPoint. That's my fault, because I didn't submit my notes to Pastor Don or to Barb so that they could put it on the PowerPoint. And so what I'll do, if you have your Bible, I encourage you to take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And by the way, there is a Bible in the row of chairs in front of you. You can pick that up. It's a different version, slightly different from what I'm going to be reading from. And also, if you don't have a Bible, you're welcome to take that home with you. We have more that will take the place of that. So Ephesians chapter 4, let's look at the first three verses to start with. As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. So what this passage is telling us, I read an extra verse there, verse 4, is first of all, it's challenging us to live a worthy life. Now, think about the Apostle Paul. He is saying that he was a prisoner. And being a prisoner, he still thinks that this life is worthy, the life that we are following Jesus Christ. Now, that has to be a lot of faith in Jesus Christ. And he is saying to us that now we have a worthy life. When we think about it, was life unworthy when we did not know Jesus Christ? And now that we have taken the step of faith and we accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, is our life not now worthy to live for Him? And to explain that, he says to be humble. Be humble, which is the opposite of pride. Can pride be a stumbling block? Or can pride be part of the excess baggage that we carry with us, that prevents us, that hinders us? Be gentle, he said, which is the opposite of being rough or being, you know, inconsiderate to the feelings of others, or not thinking about what they're going through. Can pride, not being gentle, I should say, be a stumbling block or an excess baggage for us? Be patient. The opposite of that is being, you know, impatient. Have you ever prayed that, you know, Lord, give me patience and give me now?
Yeah.
No, I know, yes. You did. But, you know, how many of us can truly say that many times we get impatient about things, about people? And so can impatient be something that can be considered as excess badges? And yes, because sometimes it frustrates us, and sometimes it can mess up our entire day because somebody did not come through with what they were supposed to do, and you don't have the patience to deal with it. And so your whole day is messed up. Bear each other's burden. Maybe you know someone who is going through something in life, sickness, job situation, whatever it might be. Give a telephone call. Pray for that individual. Go out for coffee. Do something. And or you can take the attitude, let's say, well, he's deserving for what he gets. Is that excess baggage? Is that can be considered an attitude that will fit in one of those suitcases?
Yeah.
So let's be careful. Bear each other's burden. Be at peace. Be at peace with this life that is worthy that we have. Be at peace in the home. Be at peace at church. Be at peace at work. Be at peace in the playing field. Can having this unity or not having peace be considered as excess baggage? And that's what we need to consider this morning. Use your gift. Use the gift that God has given you. I believe that all of us, in some way, shape, or form, has a gift of some kind. Or a talent, if you choose to call it that. Look at verses 11 through 16 as we look at this at this passage. 4, 11 through 16. It was he who gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speak the truth in love. We will in all things grow up into him who is the head, and that is Jesus Christ. Why do we need to use our gifts? You know, some people or some theologian may say that if God has given you a gift and if you don't use it, you're likely to lose it. And we don't want that to happen. If God has given us a gift, let's use it to his honor and glory. And first of all, the gift that he has given us is to prepare God's people for works of service. If we do not use the gift that God has given us, can that be considered as excess baggage?
Yeah.
Yes, it can. For two reasons. Number one is because we will not realize our full potential in Jesus Christ because we fail to use that gift. And number two, we will not be helping others to reach their full potential in Jesus Christ. And God can use us to do that. When we use our gift, it is to build the body of Christ, to make the body healthier. This body, this family, to make us healthier, to make us stronger, and also to become mature in Christ. We don't want to remain babes in Christ. The Apostle Paul talked about babes in Christ. He talks about being on milk instead of being on solid food. we want to move from there. You realize, and many parents have done this, if you have a baby in your home and the baby is not growing, then you become concerned and you take the baby to the doctor and have the doctor check the baby out to make sure that everything is okay. And being a follower of Jesus Christ, we don't want to be babes in Christ. We want to start, of course, for some people it takes a little bit longer, but we want to crawl or to creep and then to reach out and stand up and then take the first step and then move on until we're able to perfect all these things until you get to the point where you have to be two steps ahead of the child, knowing what they're heading for. But we need to grow up in Jesus Christ. And the scripture says, Paul is saying that we want the full measure of Christ within us. And you know, folks, if we are after the full measure of Christ in us, going after, knowing Him better, committing those areas of our lives that He continues to point out to us, all the baggage will be left behind. It will be gone. And so we need to do that. Be angry and sin not. Be angry and don't sin. Ephesians, let's look at verses 26. In chapter 4, verses 26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give a devil or the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up of others according to the needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Be angry and sin not. Do we have the right to be angry at the people who do human trafficking? Do we have the right to be angry with an adult who molested a 5-year-old child? Sure, we have the right to be angry. But Paul is saying to us, be angry, but don't sin. Be concerned. And you can talk about it, you can vent about it, because we have all right to do that. But what Paul is talking about is uncontrolled anger, which can burst into fits of rage and can be very scary. Can uncontrollable anger be an excess baggage? When I was growing up, I had a serious, serious anger problem. If I did something wrong, or whatever the situation is, and whatever my mother can put her hand on, she will let it fly after me. And I'm not kidding. And oftentimes they would come after me a basin. A lot of the time she had good aim. But I will turn around and I would step into that basin or that bowl and I would crush it where it is no longer usable. If it was a pot spoon of some kind, I would pick it up and I would just bend it over like that, and it's no longer good. It was not until I was in college, in Bible college in Trinidad, that God spoke to my heart. I believe it was probably through a message, or we were having a special meeting at the college. And they were talking about anger. And I was obedient to God's leading and His Holy Spirit. And I went up to the altar and I prayed and I named it. This is very important, folks. We do, when we want God to deal with us in a certain areas, we do not pray a general prayer. We name it. And I said, Lord, you know all about this anger problem that I have, and I need your help to take care of it. And from that point, God helped me. My wife may probably claim to be different from all of that. We need to watch our speech. We need to watch our speech. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful in building up of others. And sometimes we need to ask ourselves, I am a little bit different from other people. I am able, and I don't know if I should call this a gift or this is the way I learned this as I go along, but I am able to process my thoughts before I say it. I just don't do it like that. I'm able to know, and I'm able to say to myself, is this honoring God or dishonoring God? Is this going to be hurtful or not hurtful or being helpful? And so we need to watch our speech. And of course, His word says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if something is happening in our lives, then we need to first of all check our hearts and see where all this is coming from. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. God will be talking to us from time and time again. And He will bring things to our mind and show us things in our lives that need to be dealt with in order for us to reach our full potential. And we need to be obedient to that teaching. And whatever He is teaching us or bringing to light, He's saying, would you step out of that and step into the light that I have just given you? And even when we are in that light and the Holy Spirit continues to work with us, He's saying, would you now step over from here and come over here and walk into that light? And that's what this is all about. Cleanse yourself. It says here, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Folks, I don't know if any of those fit into your baggage. All I can tell you is that if you realize that is an issue, take it to God. Take it to the cross. Tell Him about it. Name it. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Always. I know that some of us have had some, I don't know what exactly to call it, but our past has not been so good. We have been hurt. We have been mistreated. We have been thrown under the bus, so to speak. And maybe some of us are still holding bitterness and anger. and malice about what has been done to us. And all we are doing is we are carrying excess baggage. We need to give that to God and let God take care of it for us. He promised that He can deliver us. And so as we close this morning, I would like to pray with you, and at the close of the service, if you need someone, we will have people or prayer warriors, one on my left and one on my right, would like to pray with you. But I would like to pray and ask God to watch over you this morning and whatever is happening in your life. We thank you, Lord Heavenly Father, for the faithfulness of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for teaching us this morning. We thank you for revealing to us what we need to bring to you, because now we realize that we are carrying excess baggage. And they're holding us back. They are preventing us from reaching our full potential in you, Lord. And so we don't want to carry them any longer. And I pray for those who are bringing those things up to you. I ask, oh God, that you would hear their cry and help that they will come to total surrender to you and give them victory like never before. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.